Moments after receiving the worst news of my life, I drive into the middle of a massacre. The five elephants lie on their sides, dusty hills, aberrations in the landscape. Flies swarm around the black blood that has seeped into the dirt, and overhead spins a pinwheel of vultures. I park the Land Rover beneath a mapani tree and walk toward the bodies. I am looking for signs of life, although I know I won't find them. I'm not sure how the poachers took this herd down. They use guns and spears, sometimes arrows poisoned with acocanthera. I've heard of watering holes being contaminated, of the elephants dropping like boulders after they drink. The largest elephant is one I recognize. Caribou has a half moon torn from her right ear, which is now draped over her face like a shroud. I fold back the skin as I would smooth clean sheets on a bed, revealing the gash in her flesh. Her face is a blunt cliff of brow where her trunk and the tusks have been sheared away. I lean over and get sick in the brush, bracing my hands on my knees. "Pull yourself together, Alice," I tell myself. "You have a job to do." I have seen death in the bush before, and there is always a protocol. When an elephant dies, we researchers dutifully record the place and time of death in the data we keep on the herds. We contact a ranger so that the tusks can be removed before villagers can come at night to cut them away to sell them on the black market. We leave the carcass to the vultures and the jackals and the hyenas. But what are we supposed to do when the tusks are already missing, when they were the reason for the slaughter? I've been told that the Chinese believe elephants shed their tusks like deer shed their antlers, that they have no idea that the ivory pendants and carvings they covet come at so great a cost. They also don't realize the collateral damage. In addition to the five elephants from this herd who were slaughtered, there are more who ran frantically from the poachers and who no longer have a matriarch to lead them to food and water, to steer them away from danger. When the matriarch is gone, so is the herd's collective memory. In this moment, it's too much for me, and I start to cry. Because bad things happen all the time. Because I am too late. Because yesterday these elephants were part of a family, and today they are not. Maybe it is the noise I'm making. Maybe it is just a shift in the wind that carries the scent of me, too human, across the bush. But suddenly there is a rustling sound that draws my attention. I look up and see an elephant calf, so young that her trunk still dangles like a broken comma, peeking from behind the mountain of her dead mother's spine. She can't be much older than a week or two. She's less than 3 feet tall at the shoulder. The calf pushes against the body, trying to rouse her mother. She stretches her trunk toward her mother's mouth, which is how she would normally check in for comfort, but there is no mouth anymore. There is no mother. "Hey, sweetheart," I soothe, keeping my voice low, which is what elephants like. "Hey now, you're all right." I move forward before I can think better of it. She may not be a full-grown elephant, but she still easily outweighs me by more than 150 pounds. I do not want her to startle and run, and yet I know she won't. She will stand by her mother's body until she wastes away. I've seen it with my own eyes.